Third hour DDC, Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. No Smoky Mountain Rain.
I bet Max didn't know about Smoky Mountain Rain.
It just doesn't feel the same.
I know.
It feels like it's raining on us right now, Pete and Terry's Tavern.
I'm bummed because I feel like that over the last few days of having a lot of people out, I have covered everything except for Smoky Mountain Rain.
That's what gets me juiced for the segment is Smoky Mountain Rain. And just, wow, what a swing and a whiff. So disappointing. Not his fault, though. Vince Ferrara.
But Willie's here.
Vince Sports on Twitter now joins us. I guess that's probably, you know, you don't get Smoky Mountain Rain when you don't win a series in baseball. Guess that's what happens.
Well, it wasn't in the Smoky Mountains, but it sure did rain in Lexington.
Look at you.
That was good.
Dun-dun-dun.
And Darren, good to know that the intro music ranks above me in what you look forward to in this segment each week. So,
well, it's a given, Vince. That you're the given. But, right, you know, the Smoky Mountain Rain is the whipped cream, the cherry, and the nuts.
There you go. I'll take it.
That's one way to put it.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing on this Monday? Willie, welcome to the show.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, Willie, I need your help. He's been all over the place.
That's the whipped cream.
Hey, give him that screwball, Chase. Yeah. I'm hogging it. All right, so what happened in Lexington? What happened?
Well, as has been the case, you get everybody's best punch, right? Everybody is dialed up and ready and more focused than their kids, and you know everybody's wants to beat the number one team, and Tennessee saw another team that was ready to go. And I know that hasn't mattered in the past, but when you run into hot pitching and then you try to do too much offensively, you can get what you got this weekend. It's been incredible that this little stumble hasn't happened already. And it did. It fell, a lot of things kind of, you know, fell into place, and just Tennessee wasn't able to respond offensively. Tyler Guilfoyle, who was named SEC Pitcher of the Week, was crazy good. I mean, six hits scoreless in game one kind of set the tone. And, you know, Tennessee chased Kentucky's starter on the Thursday game, and then they were swinging at pitches up in the zone and just could not get enough of any runs home. They loaded the bases each of the first three innings. They left the bases loaded in each of those first three. Left 15 on in the first game. They walked 12 times and then struck out 15 times. Couldn't cash in on those early opportunities. So it kind of started off on the wrong foot, and then just second game couldn't convert enough opportunities, and Kentucky was sharp. They stole 11 bases against Tennessee, and Tennessee just could not get it going offensively until game three, when they finally went deep with a Jordan Beck home run. Kind of tight offensively. This has been something that we've seen a little bit more of as of late. You know, the Vols now have lost three of the last five in conference play, and the offense, other than that first game against Auburn, hasn't been as explosive and dominant. So we just saw them be not as sharp in a number of areas, and Kentucky was ready for it, and got to give them credit for sure.
You know what changed this season?
I know what you're going to say.
The wooden bat game that changed this whole season. The wooden bat game has derailed the Vols. I'm just saying, the one that was played, Smokey's home. They've never been the same since. They have not recovered from the wooden bat game.
It is the theory that we have heard people trot out there.
Really? That is out there. Okay.
Well, not people, not anyone at UT. I'm just saying fans and, you know, some media members, you know, have gone to that. I don't really see it that way, but I think this is what is a little bit closer to the norm of what you see in baseball. You're going to have a little bit of a lull. And if you remember, they lost that first game against Bama, and then they went on a roll again. Then they won the last two against Bama. They swept Florida. So then they had the 17-run outburst against Auburn. I mean, it's been so removed from that. As much as these guys swing the bat, I really don't think so. It looks like it maybe when you just look at it on paper, but I honestly don't think so, Darren.
Yeah, I don't know about that either.
It was kind of a joke, but yeah. Not really, but kind of.
So
it's a half joke.
I do have to throw this in there because, you know, we are your uniform station. What do we think about the black unis?
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. And, yeah, there's more they could do with it. It caught me by surprise, honestly. I guess I stopped asking about it because I've been wanting them to go back to their old school days when they were, you know, playing really well under Rod Delmonico and getting to the College World Series with those black uniforms. The contrast of the orange and black, I thought it was beautiful, and hopefully we'll see it again. So, yeah, thumbs up for me. I'd say, you know, not everybody. You're going to have some other old school. But of course, some people are like, well, just win in it. Well, I mean, you don't know going in whether you're going to win in it or not. Like, so, but I think in terms of look, I thought it looked outstanding. What do you guys think?
I think they look cool. I mean, I like that football did it, and I like that baseball is doing it. I know that, and Willie's one that I think he doesn't like it because it's not part of the color scheme, but I think orange goes so well with it that I like it.
So, yeah, I like it better than the smoky gray. You know, the smoky gray isn't part of it, and teams traditionally do the light gray for the road, but the smoky gray isn't. I just love when teams have the big color contrast, and even when both teams will wear their colors. So, you know, orange and blue is what they both had on Sunday. I like that. I wish we'd see that more in sports, in all sports, letting teams wear their traditional primary color and then have that contrast. But, you know, it is what it is.
So two more series left in the SEC. Obviously, they have Bellarmine, which I don't even know who that is, tomorrow, and then Belmont next week. But you got Georgia and Mississippi State before things will shift to Hoover. But what do you need to see in these last two series?
Well, yeah, and by the way, we were corrected. So they told us, the folks from the school, because Tennessee just played them a couple of weeks ago, midweek, Bellarmine. Doesn't look like
Bellarmine.
It. Bellarmine, and it's in Louisville, Kentucky. So we learned that as well. So, but to answer your question, Chase, I think it has to be a couple things. There's three things that have dropped off a little bit for Tennessee. One of them is obviously the offense. Their offense has been too inconsistent, or not to the level that we've seen it before, where their strikeout numbers are up a little bit. They haven't been as patient. Not, as Tony Vitello kind of pointed out, not enough team at bats where you're trying to go the other way or up the middle. So that they need to be sharper offensively. Another thing is their starting pitching. It's a big contrast, the last eight SEC games versus the first 16. First 16 SEC games, Tennessee starters, 11 starts went six or more innings from their starters. One of them was the Dolander injury against Alabama in the first inning, so you can almost take that out, too. In the last eight games, Tennessee has zero starts of six or more innings. The longest is five innings twice. So that is a part of it. And look, Blake Tidwell, when he first came back, he didn't have the rope but to go as deep, but the last two have been even shorter outings where he could have gone longer. He just quite hasn't been as sharp as he was that first game against Florida. So I think they got to extend that. And a little bit of that, too, is they know what they have in their bullpen. One, two, they've been in tighter games because the offense hasn't been as dominant. So now they're not waiting around as long to go to the bullpen because they got a ton of guys they can use and trust. So there's a number of factors in it as well, but that's just something noteworthy. By the way, in those first 16 games, 13-1 starter, two no decisions. Last eight, 1-1, six no decisions. So it would help them if their starters were back to as sharp as they were before. Another thing is base stealing. Teams are 32 of 33 stealing bases against Tennessee in SEC play. So Tennessee's got to do a little bit of better job of holding down base runners. So, you know, Georgia has been up and down, too. They're a lot better offensively than they were supposed to. They're not anywhere as good on the mound as they were supposed to. So hard to say what you're going to get from them, but I think those are a couple of areas that, not ringing the alarm or anything, but those are areas where they kind of dipped a little bit, and we'll see if they get back on track.
Didn't mean to laugh while you were talking, but Dylan tweeted at us and said, it really doesn't feel like a Monday at noon without some Ronnie Millsap, hashtag fire the suit.
Hashtag JK. Don't leave that part out. JK means just kidding.
Look how quick Jason was quick to jump in there.
Forget one song, everybody wants you fired.
It's a pretty important song.
It is. I mean, you could have played my karaoke version.
It's brought joy to our show. It's brought joy to thousands of listeners.
A lot of joy.
It's just lots of joy. Yeah. Brings joy
to
events.
That's what we try to do.
Joy to events. Don't forget that. That's true.
No. We're excited to see how Theo Jackson, by the way, works out here.
Yeah.
Having the Nashville kid. It's going to be fun.
I really like him. I put up a blog up at 99.1thesportsanimal.com and laid out exactly, you know, what each of those guys are dealing with in terms of competition and how they fit in. Love his versatility, his intelligence. I mean, you guys have heard John Robinson talk about him, obviously, and super character kid. Loves to bowl, too. If you guys get a chance to interview him, ask him about bowling. That's one. And another thing is,
what is it about the Overton guys? Mookie Betts?
Yeah.
It's a tradition.
Theo Jackson. What is up with them being outstanding bowlers at Overton?
It's following in the footsteps. Come on. The Bobcats.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
And then also, his dad, ever since Theo was six, his dad every day would ask him, who's the best player on the field? And he would ask him that to try to get his confidence up. And I asked him when I interviewed him earlier this year for a Vol Network pregame interview, I said, so when did you finally start to believe that you were? And he said, this past spring. So last spring football going into the first Heupel season is when he first felt like he was. And you know what? He played so much better this year and fitting into this defense. So he is, and I told you guys this, he is one of the most respectful, nicest, easy to root for kids I have covered at Tennessee since I've been here in 2010, and just really happy for him. So that those questions from his dad to keep his confidence up, and then they go from, you know, to text later on asking him, making sure to drilling him about that, something cool. So, you know, when you guys get a chance to talk to him, ask him about a couple of those things.
We will. We'll be better next week. Thanks for doing this, as always. Have a great week.
All right, you guys do the same. Enjoy the game.
Vince Ferrara, WNML, the sports animal in Knoxville, at Vince Sports on Twitter every Monday at high noon, along with Smoky Mountain Rain.
That song is somewhere in the Smoky Mountain Rain. There you go.
I got depressed just saying
I'm sorry.
You know? Willie, tell everybody, pump everybody up talking about Lone Pronto.
All right, I can pump you guys up on a lot of different subjects, but I will start with
you up.
Yep, just like Hans and Franz.
Hans and Franz.
But let me tell you about Lone Pronto, because right now they want you to know that if you've been thinking about moving, hey, you probably already know this. It's hard right now. But what you may not know is there's a better option out there through Lone Pronto. Let them refinance your current home, turn all that equity you have into cash, and transform your house. Get yourself a new kitchen, a new bathroom, a pool outside, whatever it is, and turn your current home into a dream home. Lone Pronto has got a great method of doing this. They're the leaders in fast and easy home refis, and they can help you unlock that equity you have and do some amazing things. So instead of wasting all of that on an overpriced new house, convert that equity into cash for a home makeover. Here's an example. One couple did it. They got out $200,000, and they added hardwood floors, a new outdoor living space, a swimming pool with a spa, new cabinets, appliances, plus a home office. So now they have transformed their home into their dream home, and they never had to move. So call Lone Pronto. Ask about their home improvement refi. That's the home improvement refi from Lone Pronto. 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to LonePronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
Jesus, Max, get with it, man. Let's go. Let's go! Holy crap. Hour number three, back here on the DDC. Darren McFarland Willie Donick and Chase McCabe and Max Herz. Man, I expect better of you. My bar is high. And Hal Gill, Skillsy, a.k.a. Skillsy.
Right, he was aware that Skillsy was in the area, and you just never know what could be flying around during the break, you know? Could be some stuff.
Well, I'm not
PG-13.
Not sure what that means, but actually I do
know
what that
means. Well, he used a term on the postgame show that I deemed was PG-13, right on the borderline. It was not a violation. He was, but that's what you do at the playoffs, right? You go on the line but not over the line.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to know the line. Hal knows the line. Raise the bar. Thank you.
Push the envelope.
Hashtag raise the bar.
Yeah.
Then you can drink yourself under it.
He said, then you can drink yourself under it.
His friend, AJ Malesko, will join us at 1 o'clock. And he was actually giving us grief. He's like, yeah, we were supposed to go to lunch, but, you know, apparently she's got to do a hit on
Pete
this show.
Terry's, we can accommodate a lot of different
things. She can sit
here.
Down at the table, order the food, sit down at the table while she's waiting for her food, do the interview, jump up, the food is served hot and ready to go.
I got good food.
I mean, you know, I'm just throwing this stuff out there. So it looks like, from what I can tell on
Hal's
Twitter.
Hal's not excited about listening to the show from now until 1, though, he says. He says, I got to listen to you guys now. He's putting the pressure on us.
Pavel Francouz, right?
Yes.
Looks like he's going to get the game 4 start. Is that what it's looking like? No Darcy Kuemper this morning? Or what did Bednar say?
Honestly, I did not hear.
I haven't seen that he's ruled him out, but I just noticed that Kuemper didn't skate this morning. I don't know if that's telling us something or not. I would be surprised. Willie, it sounded optimistic after the game on Saturday, but again, we've been having fun with. Let's just be honest. Let's tell the truth today. Okay, let's tell the truth. If you're up 3-0 in a series, are you risking Kuemper when you've got big picture plans?
I think that's what you come down to. You err on the side of caution.
Yeah.
And so I have no idea the specifics of what it is. If there's obviously a vision problem for a goalie, then you can't play. Like, I heard Hal joking on your postgame show the other day. Would just put a patch on it. You know, you still got one eye. I mean, it's humorous. But if there's a vision problem for the goalie, there's no way he can play. Now, if it's just if it was scratched and there's no swelling and your vision is fine, then there's no reason he couldn't play. But if there's any question, I think you. And it's not like Francouz played poorly, and he had a very good year. Kuemper missed quite a bit of the season due to injury, and I think Francouz was 15-5-1 on the season. So he's a good goalie.
I thought he played good on Saturday.
He did a good job, yeah. They got to him for a couple, but he was sort of thrown into the fire. That's not easy to do sometimes in relief, but yeah, so that's not surprising news. I have not seen that thrown out officially. I don't know. Did you see that on Twitter?
I did.
I assume. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen that.
Well, I was just saying that he did not skate this morning. So
right. Now, this is what the Predators have to do tonight. They have to make it about the goalie. So far, I think you could probably say just about any goalie, although Kuemper, to his credit, he had that tough game in game 2 where the game is tied and he went long stretches without facing a lot of heat. And then Nashville had 2 or 3 really good chances in overtime where he could have just had the one slip up and the game is over. But other than that, Nashville has to make this about the goalie for Colorado because Colorado's defensive structure has been really good. I think better than I expected coming into the series. I think they've been really focused. They have not given up. They haven't made a lot of goofs. Sometimes you have a real offensive-minded team that's known for that. And in exchange for that, they might have some defensive slip-ups that have you coming in 2-on-1 or breakaways where you can exploit. That hasn't happened much in this series. They've defended really well and still gotten the dynamic push offensively. So I think that's where it has to start tonight. Let's see if the Predators can test out Pavel Francouz and see if he can come up with a big effort. If he can, then you have to tip your hat. But if not, the goalies really have not had to work that hard in any of the 3 games. It was better on Saturday, but it still wasn't what it's got to beat the Avalanche.
Yeah, I thought that was their best game, believe it or not.
No,
7-3 game,
you
wouldn't expect that.
I was saying about the bar. The bar was low, right, because they didn't generate much at all in Colorado. You expect to generate more at home, and they did, but it still has to be better.
On the other side, let's talk about, like, what's happened with Tanner Jeannot. Our best theories. I mean, last 18 games, which is the month of April and these three playoff games, he has a single point. A point. That's it. For a guy that scored 24 goals in the regular season and had an unbelievable rookie season, but it looks like he's hit the proverbial wall, we think. But let's talk about that. Philip Forsberg, a lot of people have been disappointed. He doesn't have a point in this playoff series. Let's touch on that. I mean, outside of Matt Duchene, I'm not sure offensively what you were just throwing out there. Roman Josi's been Roman Josi. I think he's been pretty good. But let's talk about, you can't just be pretty good against Colorado. Like, you have to be, you have to be next level against Colorado.
You have to be at the top of your game.
You have to be at the top of your game. And clearly that up and down the lineup, that has not been the case. So let's discuss all that on the other side. Right now, summer heat is on the way. If you haven't looked at the forecast, folks, it's going to be 90 degrees this week. Finally. I think we just, like, skipped right past spring, which isn't much.
No, I don't.
And we've gone straight into summer.
No, I'm not ready.
I'm just telling
you. It's early May.
I'm the messenger.
I'm not ready for 90.
I'm the messenger.
I don't want 90.
Okay? Be mad at the meteorologists that are predicting this. So if your air conditioner, you know, is it ready? You need to ask yourself, is it ready to handle the heat if the heat is here to stay? Costs are rising everywhere. We know that. If you go out, you buy groceries, you get gas, utilities, you name it, everything is higher than ever. Is your AC old, inefficient, and costing more than it should? Well, interest rates are rising, but not at Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Qualified buyers have up to 72 months, no interest for a New York air conditioner, and 6 months, no interest for repairs. That's at Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. All new systems come with a 10-year parts and labor warranty. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. Back here on the DDC on this Monday afternoon. Beautiful day downtown. Game four tonight. 8:30 puck drop. Pete Weber and Hal Gill will have the call here on these airwaves. I'll have pregame for you at 7:30. Preds Insiders with Robbie Stanley. That coverage beginning at 6 o'clock. Oh, and you?
And me.
Awesome. So duo.
Yes. Yeah, we'll go to 7:30 and then turn things over to you.
All right. And then on the television side, Willie and his crew will start their coverage at 8 o'clock.
And I just walked in the
Valley
arena.
Sports.
Yep.
I'm going to need to go not wear shorts because it's chilly in there.
Yes, it was cold Saturday.
Yeah,
well, it was very cold.
Look, you got to compensate. This is what happens during these months.
During these warm temperatures, Willie. I tried to tell you during the last break. Warm temperatures.
I know. So the guys downstairs, they work hard. They got the big playoff humidifier things that they put in.
They're on the side of the building here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to keep that ice ready to go.
All right. Let's talk about the things that I threw out there. So let's start with Tanner Jeannot, who I've been advocating to move him up for a month.
Yeah.
Well, it happened on Saturday. Maybe too little too late, right? Because what's happened? I mean, he has a point in 18 games. That is counting the month of April, which there were 15 games and three playoff games. A point. I think it was like April 7th or something, the last time he registered a point against Ottawa, whatever that date was.
Yep, it was the record-breaking point for Roman Josi.
Okay.
Huge goal, tied the game in Ottawa. He tipped it. And since then, he's gone dry. Yeah.
So what do we make of that? Is it hitting the rookie proverbial wall, or what do we make of that? How do we explain that?
I think every player, every individual is different. It's just we would be guessing. But I think, would it be crazy to think this is just a rookie, has not played 82 games, he's gone into a slump, he cares so much, you start working so hard, you're trying as hard as you have, but it's just not happening for you. I think there's an emotional, there's a mental strain that goes with that. And, I mean, he's in a slump. And he's not alone, as you mentioned.
I'm bringing up a guy that's been vitally important for them all season long.
And I think we said this, to our credit, okay, we said after the All-Star break, hey, let's keep an eye on this. You got a lot of young players that haven't gone through the 82-game grind.
And a heavy workload after that break.
A very heavy workload against the elite teams in the league. So, you know, you have to overcome this as a team, as a player, and right now they haven't been able to do it, right? They have not hit the peak that you were hoping to when you come into the playoffs. But, you know, you just have to get through it. They're going to try a different formula maybe tonight. They're going to probably shake it up a little bit to try to get him going. Ryan Johansson has not been the playoff Ryan Johansson that we've grown accustomed to after an outstanding regular season. So there's different stories here, right? Philip Forsberg, he didn't slump, but he's having problems in this series. He's not clicking the way he has to. Everybody's got to be clicking, like you said before. You just can't have a few guys flickering.
No, not against Colorado.
Not against Colorado. Everybody has to come together.
And there's
a lot of stories that, like, I think Granlund, Duchesne, and to his credit, Luke Cunningham, they had a pretty good line going on Saturday. That was the best line that they had. And you're kind of giving me a ha-ha.
Well, you know why I'm doing that. But
because it's relative to the other lines.
Right.
But they were way, way better than any other line.
They were.
The other lines, Joe and Johansson, nothing. They had the youngster line that flickered here and there, but really nothing to speak of. You know, we're still talking about a 5-on-5 game that was the best of the three games that they've played so far. So they made moderate improvements, but it's still not enough. You're going up against a powerhouse that's playing. They're playing great.
I liked the Glass move, too. I liked putting him in the lineup. I liked putting Tomasino back in, you know, just to try and get something, more speed. Now, it didn't work out necessarily. They didn't do anything. But when they did it and I saw them come out for warm-ups, I was like, okay, all right, I like that. I respect what you're trying to do here to try and combat that. At the end of the day, though, I mean, you know what Colorado is. Colorado is a cup contender. I mean, they are speed.
They're the cup favorite.
Cup favorite, yeah, and they're playing like it. Darren made a good point earlier. We'll see what it looks like the rest of the way. Obviously, this is just the beginning of the road for them. They got to make a run. But, you know, right now, I mean, they're looking the part. And so how can you combat that? And I think that Hines and his staff, they're throwing everything they got. And what you just mentioned is spot on. You have guys that have hit the slump at the wrong time.
Well, Robbie and Joe asked, like, what's going on with Forsberg? What do you think of his play in the playoffs? And I said, I get it. He hasn't been on the scoring sheet. So that's a problem. A guy who had 42 goals in the regular season, a guy that you depend on, a guy that, again, this theme of you just can't be okay against Colorado. You have to be exceptional. Like, you can't even be above average. Like, you have to be exceptional to beat Colorado. And he hasn't been exceptional. I said, it's not like I've watched him for three games and said, oh, my gosh, what a, you know, horse crap series he's having. It's not the case, but how do you explain, how would you answer why he hasn't had the success in this series?
Forsberg?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think when he struggles some, it's when he tries too hard to make the perfect shot or the big play. Maybe throw the extra move. And sometimes that's what your instincts tell you to do rather than maybe pull back and simplify a little bit. You know, just play the power game a little bit more. It's interesting how just one or two moves could go the wrong way. You know, he saw that several times Saturday. He hit that post.
He did hit the post.
In the 5-on-3.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that gets him going, right? Sometimes it just takes that one play for him to all of a sudden go on a binge and be unstoppable. You know, and let's also be perfectly honest. They're targeting him, right? They're putting their best defenders out on him. They've done a good job, but that's what's disappointing is even though that's been the case all year long, they've had a great year, right? Forsberg, Duchesne, Granlund, Johansson, they've been consistently powerful and had really productive seasons. So for them to have success in the series, they had to carry the load again. And so they're not getting that, and they're not getting a lot of secondary scoring as well. But it could change in one game. It happens all around hockey every year. There's a guy that goes cold at the wrong time, and it's, you know, it just
Right.
It's a bad time to have that happen.
But to your point, like what I noticed Saturday is, and we know that Philip has quick hands. And I mean, he can do things that other people can't do when he's moving the puck around. But I did notice that it was almost like he was trying too hard to make the right deke, and they just swarmed him. And every time he tried to do that, they knocked the puck away, and then the play was dead. And it just sometimes, to your point, Willie, I think you just got to be simple. And that's where I see it with Yost. I mean, Yost does the same thing. That
Bednar, sorry to interrupt, he has officially said that Kemper will not play today, just so you know.
Yeah, Francois is in.
Yep.
But, you know, I think that happens sometimes with those star players, that you try and put the team on your back and you're trying to make something happen, and then you just do too much. And the other team knows that too. And
I think that's probably the whole team right now. Yeah. I think if there's one thing you can say about this Predator team the whole year long, is that they work so hard, they want it so bad, they play for each other. But when they struggle, it's not for lack of effort. If anything, I think they're almost trying too hard, and they're not working as smart as they could be. And somewhere in here, you just got to be loose and make a play or two. But the other thing is they're having to defend too much, right? Even though it was better,
no question,
on Saturday, it's just tough to have to defend Colorado the way you have
to. Well, and kill off penalties.
And then still have the fuel in the tank to go down and do the things you need to do to score. They have to find a way to dictate play and get a little more territory with the puck more in order to get a win.
Look, I know that there have been really good teams that are heavily penalized throughout the course of hockey history, and they've been able to overcome it. But when you don't have the success, then people then point to it and turn to it. And look, the bottom line is they're 85 games into the season, and it's been very consistent. So they've had to work extra hard to kill off penalties, and they haven't stayed out of the box. And like I said, good teams have done that in the past and been able to overcome. In fact, the Predators were a penalized team when they had their run, right? They were heavily penalized.
Yep.
And so they were able to overcome that. But in this case, it's now when you're not winning, people are going to point out those are hard minutes. Hal Gill knows that. Those are hard minutes. And, you know, they made it work in game two. They killed off three huge penalties in the second period, were outplayed badly in that period, but it didn't bite them. But the issues of killing off, you know, the power play, the penalty kill is, as we know, four power play goals on Saturday.
I mean,
it's just,
yeah.
You can't overcome that.
You have to find a way to get the kill. Now, if you break down the penalties, you know, what's the first one? Luke Cunning.
High
like,
stick.
Right. And so he's kind of not – he's going in hard. He's sort of following through. He's trying to make a play, and it gets up, and the guy's behind him. Is that a – you know, it's easy to say. You can't take those. But it's happening so fast. Could he see the guy there? Sometimes penalties just happen. They also are calling a lot. It's not like Nashville's not going on the power play themselves. They went 2-for-4. So maybe the answer is, look, the way they're calling the games these days, you're going to go into the box a few times. You've got to find a way to kill it. You got to box out a little bit better in front, give your goalie a chance.
The Tolvanen and trip course, was a little bit. But still, again, you're responsible for your stick.
Yeah.
It's a little bit iffy, but, you know. Again, like you said, they're calling it.
Yeah. That's an obvious penalty.
They're calling a lot of things. The one
that I sort of had a problem with was Lauzon is on Burakovsky. He grabs his jersey. All right. But then Burakovsky just goes flying down to the ice. I thought that was
right, because the minute he felt him pulling his jersey, that's what they're
really
going to do.
He's not really pulling the jersey. He's just he's got a hold of it, which is you can't do. But I thought that could have been a 4-on-4.
He knows he's going to probably get the call. That's why I did it.
Well, I know. That's my problem.
Yeah.
Is, look, either play on, say, hey, it's playoffs, I'm going to let some stuff go. You dove, you grabbed his jersey, so I'm not calling anything. Or I could call both. But they just call Lauzon. And of course, they cash in on the ensuing power play.
AJ Malesko, a.k.a. Hal's friend, will join us to start the final hour. We'll come back, wrap up the third hour next. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe, live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Beautiful day downtown. Game four tonight. 8:30 puck drop. Pete Weber and Hal Gill will have your call. I'll have pregame for you at 7:30. Chase and Robbie will have Preds Insider starting at 6 o'clock. Yes. All that coverage live here on these airwaves. Willie Donick and his crew on the television side, as people can see his mishap over the weekend. I don't know. Just don't look down on television. Nobody will know.
I'm just going to nod my head, just lean back a little bit.
They tell you to sit up straight anyway with good posture.
Yeah,
so
that's what I need to do.
Yeah, but
remember, the problem is in our broadcast area, as you guys know, the camera is elevated. So
the camera's
coming
elevated.
Down. So I'm really going to have to lean back and look up.
Yeah. Well, and I know when Skillsy comes on, what he's going to do, he's going to like hit you on the back and make you do that.
Yeah.
So then everybody can see.
But I got to keep the strap of the headphones over the scratch.
Yeah.
I had a yard work problem yesterday. Just a self-inflicted wound. Just pathetic.
A garage malfunction.
Yeah. I mean, just brutal. Self-inflicted wound. Just dumb.
Well, after hearing the story during the break, you're lucky, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
It could have been worse.
Oh, yeah. I could have gashed my head wide open.
Yeah,
Thank goodness I was wearing a hat. Of course, these are bald guy problems, right? If you scratch your head and you got hair, nobody sees it. But if you're bald and you scratch your head, it looks like a massive head wound, hairy.
But I did not see your name on the injury report. John Hines did not bring you up today in morning skates. So you're good to go.
Good to go.
Okay.
I mean, it could have been so bad you just ripped off your hat and took off running to the house, you know, like Kemper. I mean, you could have done that. Then, you know, it's amazing. We were talking about this earlier. The Avs fans that think Johansson did that on purpose is mind-blowing.
Yeah. Come on.
It's like, really?
It's just silly.
Well, I felt the same way. I don't know about you guys. I felt the same way about the whole thing with John Morant. Like, that was not intentional.
They
did. Like,
it wasn't intentional at all.
Hard. Yeah. So I think to me both are the same. It's like tensions are high during the playoffs and you start looking for things that aren't true. Like the TNT guys on the basketball side were laughing. Like, come on, what are we even looking at here? You know, with the John Morant play. And I think it's the same principle with Johansson. Like I would try to say, like, see if you can actually get your stick to go in there. Like we've watched how many games over the years with the Predators? Have you ever seen that?
I've never seen that before.
You couldn't do that if you tried.
No. I've never seen it before.
Never.
No, but as we learned from a caller
Chris
earlier.
Chris Mason said it has happened.
It's the cat eye mask.
Yeah, we had a caller that educated us on that, the type of mask that it was. That it does have an opening. But still, like, you couldn't do that if you tried.
Well, exactly. It's like you hit a golf shot off a tree and it bounces onto the green.
Yeah.
And you say jokingly, everybody meant to do that.
Right. And then,
you couldn't recreate that.
Yeah, do it again.
Yeah, you could do that 1,000 times and never have it go that way. That's the gist of that play.
Well, the John Morant stuff, the reason that's happening is because of how the series has gone with, you know, the injury.
Yeah.
And suspensions.
Right.
Or a suspension. Technical fouls, ejections. That's why.
Right. I get that, but when you look at that play, come on.
Yeah. Jeremy Gover said, what we've learned is Willie D should avoid pickleball and garages.
Yeah.
Pickleball. Well, and this, I don't have a garage.
Pickleball and yard, it's
shed.
Yard work. Yard
the shed.
I have a shed that leads to the basement where we keep our yard stuff, and it's low, and there's hazards, and you got to know your own stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't know my
– You've been in that house for
my house.
20 years.
20-some years.
Yeah.
I knew the thing was there.
Yeah.
What am I doing? I was mad at myself.
No. It's tall guy problems. I mean,
tall
that's
guy,
the thing.
Bald guy, bad combo.
tall guy,
dumb guy.
You went there.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Not us.
Yeah,
Skillsy's here just making fun of us during the break.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Well, you know,
it's like
we deserve it.
He's like, you dang radio guys.
See, he could gash his head wide open, but he's got the good flow, so nobody would see it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I would think at some point in his career, he may have done that. If I had to guess.
All right, so you haven't weighed in on Barry Trotz getting shown the door with the Islanders.
Yeah, I mean,
is that not mind-blowing?
Completely out of left field, but it's Lou Lamoriello, so that...
He's 110.
He is.
I mean,
79, but you
know. Okay, 79, 110, that's the same thing.
It's close.
Once you get to 79, you can say 110, and it's still acceptable.
31 years off, but, you know, whatever.
I'll have a party if I make it to 79. Well, so
what I think, I mean, I'm not happy about that. It'd be interesting to get AJ's perspective at
we
one
will
because
ask her.
She does the Islanders games, but they had a nightmare, right? They had the COVID from the very start, decimated their team, on top of the fact that their arena wasn't ready.
Lots of road games.
13 or 14 in a row or whatever. Then they get to the arena and half of their team is sidelined.
Yep.
It was just, who was going to, it was an impossible situation.
So the best is Lou saying it was time for the players to hear another voice. And then he admits in the same breath, but he hasn't talked to the players. What?
Like, how do you know?
Yep.
You think it's time for the players to, according to who? You?
Yeah.
You haven't talked to the players, but you think it's time for them to hear another voice? That's an idiotic statement.
Lou Lamoriello is a Hall of Famer.
I get it.
He is an amazing hockey mind. He is a weird bird. He beats to his own drum. He doesn't care what you think. He's going to do what he's going to do. And Trotsky, I remember when Barry got that job, my first thought was like, Barry and Lou Lamoriello. That's an interesting mix. But they put together some really good seasons there. So now it'll be on to the next one. And I think Barry Trotz will have some teams probably lining up to go get him.
And I mean,
think about it. He's from the Winnipeg area.
I was going to say,
aren't there two in this
division?
There's two
in the Central.
Yeah, Chicago is a very...
Chicago and Winnipeg.
Yeah. Now the question for Barry will be, you know, where is he... I mean, at this stage of his career, he probably has the ability to kind of hang back. He could even wait a year. I mean, he probably wants to go where he feels like they can win, and not because Chicago's a rebuilding project, right? Let's make no mistake about it. They're a ways away.
Is Vegas going to make a move?
That's a good question.
What about
if they make a move, that would make a lot of sense because they're equipped.
Yes, I think Vegas could probably say, look. We got the horses.
Look,
let's hit the reset button, and we'll be really good.
Yeah, they need
year.
To get a coach in there and have some success, and he's had success.
And he's very different.
They've had success. Never
he's,
mind.
He's very different than Pete DeBoer.
Yeah. No.
He's the polar opposite. So if you wanted a different approach, that would be.
Like, he's depressing just to look at.
Where's Detroit?
He just
seems miserable at
he
all
He looks
times.
Like an just an angry human being.
Yeah. The least likable guy.
Where are the
but
Red
a good
Wings
coach,
at this point?
A guy that wins a lot.
What about the Red Wings at this point? Where are they in their rebuild?
It's been a long
can
process.
Can Barry Trotz really work for the Detroit or Chicago? Really? Can he work for the Red Wings?
The Red Wings are in the East, so I could stomach it better here.
Yeah, but still, when you think about his history in the Red, like, he can't. Really? Can he work for the Red Wings?
That's a great question.
Philadelphia also open, so.
Philadelphia.
That's an interesting thing.
I don't know. Oh, Barry.
That one's
that
a
market.
Constant shuffle. So that's
all right.
That interesting call.
We'll come back. We'll begin the final hour with AJ Malesko. She's AKA Hal's friend. We think she'll admit to that. Yeah, she will. She will. She'll admit to that. We'll talk hockey
she
with her.
She has Hal as a friend. That's the better way.
She has Hal as a friend. That's probably the better way to put it.
She allows Hal
She's
to be
accepted
her friend.
Hal as her friend. We'll talk to her next.